just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. This is Pastor Belo, conducting our worship service online from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church, Green Bay, Wisconsin, on October the 17th, 2021. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, by your abundant mercy, you have begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We pray, let your great love move us to rise up, to forsake all, and to follow him. As we have been redeemed by his blood, may we walk in the light of his holy example and be joined to him evermore as the shepherd and bishop of our souls, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit the honor and glory, one God, now and forever. Let us publicly confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We direct our attention to the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson for this Sunday, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, which is recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 1 through 5. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Here ends the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson. The epistle lesson to which we direct our attention is written in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Here ends the reading of the epistle. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them very spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Here ends the reading of the Gospel. We continue with the sermon for this Sunday, the 20th Sunday after Trinity. "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In the name of Jesus, the once crucified Christ, and now our risen Redeemer and ascended Lord, dear fellow redeemed, Holy Scripture testifies to the fact that every person has an inborn belief in some sort of supreme being. People want to believe in some kind of a God, even when they say that they do not believe in God. The psalmist wrote, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.'" Why is he called a fool? Because he is denying the very thing that he knows to be true, namely, that there is a God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "What may be known of God is manifest in them," that is, the heathen, "for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." People who deny the existence of God haven't even taken an intelligent look at the story of creation. The creation clearly testifies to God's eternal power and Godhead. The story is told of a European churchman on a ship that was slowly sinking in the Atlantic. Suddenly, he saw a fellow passenger praying. In previous conversation, the passenger had claimed to be an unbeliever, and he ridiculed the Christian faith. But now he was kneeling and praying, "Lord, have mercy on us." The churchman went to him and asked, "How come you are praying when you don't believe in the Almighty God, and you have denied the power of prayer?" The outspoken unbeliever replied, "There's a big difference between being on dry land and being on the deck of a sinking ship." Often people who deny that God exists want to have the Lord on their side when there is great danger and difficulty. This morning we want to consider the question, who is on the Lord's side? Our text is recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 15 through 26. Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other, they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. At the command of God, Moses had ascended Mount Sinai. On two tablets of stone, he received the Ten Commandments written by God's own hand. God also gave him other instructions to prepare him for leading the Lord's people into the promised land of Canaan. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on the mountaintop. That was too long for those impatient people. The Israelites were no different than we are by nature. Sometimes we want to set the schedule for God. Often we wonder why God does not answer our prayers more quickly and in the way we want them to be answered. We forget that God follows his own schedule. Instead of devoting their time to the things that God had asked them to do, the people began to complain against Moses, and they found fault with the way God was doing things. How soon they forgot that God had freed them from slavery in Egypt through the many mighty miracles. God had divided the Red Sea so his people could cross over on dry land. He miraculously provided food and water for them in the desert. Under the leadership of Moses, the Lord performed many mighty works in their midst. Yet, suddenly they forgot their Lord and their leader. They spoke and acted as if both of them ceased to exist. They said to Aaron, "Come, make us gods that will go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron was Moses' brother. He also was the person whom God himself had selected to be the first priest among the children of Israel. He who was responsible for teaching the people to worship the one true God designed the symbol of idolatry, the golden calf. Certainly Aaron knew better than that and knew that it was wrong to fabricate a false god, but he did it anyway, just to please the people. Since that time, there have been many religious leaders who have acted like Aaron. Under public pressure, they do what they know is wrong, but they are afraid to stand up to people, or they are afraid of losing their popularity. There are religious leaders who deny that God created all things in 6 days. There are religious leaders who deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Savior. They deny that it is the Holy Spirit who calls us to faith in Jesus. Every Christian teaching and truth is denied and rejected by someone. Moses chided Aaron for not taking a stand. He asked, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" Aaron tried to excuse himself by saying that it wasn't his fault. He only did what the people wanted. He said to Moses, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil." But it was Aaron's own idea to gather their gold ornaments and to fashion what has been called that clumsy calf. He said that the people gave him their gold, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Aaron spoke as if it were almost accidental or even a miracle. He spoke as if it did not happen to do anything that he had intended to happen. What spiritual confusion results when religious leaders fail to follow God's clear word? Many religious leaders today have changed their theological position. What was once taught as being the absolute truth is now considered to be questionable. After all, many of them consider themselves much more enlightened and learned than people of the past. The result is that the religious trumpet gives an uncertain sound, and people are spiritually confused. Confusion leads to uncertainty. Uncertainty results in the loss of credibility. Where there is no credibility or trust in what others say, there can be no meaningful discussion. And with the loss of meaningful discussion, the stage is set for a head-on collision. Aaron had a head-on collision with Moses. Moses confronted him for his lack of leadership. Moses did not know what others had in mind, but as for himself, he was determined to do the will of the Lord. He confronted all of the people with their sins. In anger, he threw the two tablets of stone to the ground on which the Ten Commandments were written by God. He took the calf, which had been made, ground it to powder, and cast the golden powder on the water and made the people drink it. They would learn that when people go their stubborn, sinful way, they will suffer the consequences of their sin. We must see the seriousness of sinning against the first and foremost commandment: "You shall have no other gods before me." The God whom we are called to worship and to serve is none other than the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who clearly tells us in the Holy Scriptures, "An idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one." He is the one who confronts us and asks, "Who is on the Lord's side?" When the children of Israel gave up on God and also on their leader, Moses, they turned to the ways of the world. They engaged in a worldly celebration, in dining, dancing, and drinking. Instead of worshiping and giving attention to spiritual matters, as they were told to do, Scripture reports, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. At that point, the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" How quickly people turn aside from the one true God and go after gods of their own making. There are many who, like the Israelites, are more concerned about having fun than they are about having faith. They love leisure, luxury, and the pleasures of this life more than they love their Lord. There are many who, week after week, would not miss their opportunities to eat, drink, and play, but they think nothing of missing the opportunity for worship. The question of our text is very timely: who is on the Lord's side? Moses called out, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." Moses called for a separation between the true children of God and the idol worshippers. If you want heaven's blessing in this life and in the life to come, we must be on the side of the one true God. We must come into the presence of the God who created us. We must confess how often we have feared, loved, and trusted other things more than God. We must see how badly we break his commandments. Like the Israelites, we often forget him and neglect him. We must heed his call to repentance and faith. Although he is the Almighty God, who with one word could wipe us off the face of the earth, yet he assures us of his grace, his mercy, and forgiveness. He who created us is also the God who has redeemed us. He sent his Son to be the Savior of us all. Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, took upon himself our sins, carried them to Calvary's cross, and paid the price to deliver us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We have peace with God through the precious blood of Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit, true God, with the Father and the Son, comes to us through the word of the gospel and calls us to repentance and faith in Jesus. He invites us to come over to the Lord's side. The call of Moses to be on the Lord's side needs to be repeated, because so easily we, and so often we also forget. We forget in spite of the consequences. The idolaters at the foot of Mount Sinai paid a heavy penalty. 3,000 of them were killed by their fellow men in a single day. But it did not take very long, and they forgot the Lord again. Joshua, who was the successor of Moses, pleaded with the people not to forget the past. He referred both to their failures and to the goodness of God. When the children of Israel were about to enter into the land of Canaan, Joshua said to them, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As a leader, Joshua laid it on the line. He did not know what the other people would do, but he made it very clear where he stood. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." During the days of the prophet Elijah, the people also were faced with the decision of whose side they wanted to be on. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." He confronted the people with the question, "Whose side are you on? Make up your minds." Those words of the prophet were followed by that great demonstration of who is the true God, as Elijah and the prophets of Baal gathered together at Mount Carmel to demonstrate whose God could send fire from heaven to consume their sacrifice. Elijah stood on the Lord's side, while 450 prophets of Baal were on the other side. The Lord sent fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice of Elijah, while the prophets of Baal were made to look ridiculous for their utter idolatry. Then the people were ready and willing to come over to the Lord's side. Scripture reports, "When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" Jesus also spoke about being on the Lord's side. He invites us, pleads with us, and urges us to accept him as God's Son and our only Savior. He invites us to come to him and to trust in him as the one whom the Father promised to send to take away our sins. Either we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and receive heaven's blessing for time and eternity, or we reject him. It's an either or. It cannot be both. The Savior said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." When we are talking about salvation by faith in Jesus, there is no middle ground. It is impossible to be on the Lord's side and on the side of the devil, or on the side of the world, or on the side of our own sinful flesh at the same time. Yet there are those who think that they can be on both sides at the same time. when everything is going well, they want to have one foot in the camp of the world. But when days are dark and difficult, they want to find refuge in thinking that they have a foot in God's camp. There were those who boast of being spiritually in the middle of the road, or of having some middle or moderate position. They are only kidding themselves. The question of Moses echoes down the corridor of time. Who is on the Lord's side? To be a son or daughter of God, you must be on the side of the one true God. You are on the Lord's side when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, whom the Father sent to save you from sin, death, and hell. Come humbly, penitently, and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then you have come over to the Lord's side. May you never be ashamed to say, I am on the Lord's side now, and by the grace of God, he will have me at his side eternally. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you have sustained us all the days that we have lived. You have made yourself known to us in your holy word, and you have called us by the gospel to have peace and hope in Christ. You have brought us together for the worship of your name. Accept our thanks for your mercy and help. Help us by the Holy Spirit to honor and glorify you. If any among us is still in the bondage of sin, may your goodness lead them to repentance and faith. If any have wandered from you, mercifully restore them. As you have blessed us in the past, so let your mercy be upon us evermore in the present and the future. Bless the ministrations of your servants at home and abroad, that by the power of your word, all unbelief and heresy may be kept from your church. Stir up the hearts and minds of your people for more vigorous faith, more earnestness of endeavor, more energy of self-consecration in the upbuilding of your kingdom. Hinder and suppress all bad influences that would undermine the order and peace of society. Remove from office those who seek to hinder and destroy your church. Touch the hearts and consciences of people so that they will put forth greater efforts to end all the violence, war, and bloodshed throughout the whole world. Protect and prosper all just government, all good laws, and righteous administration, so that your people may be enabled to serve you in quietness and peace. Touch the hearts of those who are in authority, so that they will maintain justice, peace, and good order, and defeat and punish wickedness and all evil doing. Bless the work and efforts of the many doctors, nurses, and caretakers of the sick and the suffering, of both the young and the old, and protect us from the coronavirus pandemic. Bless all lawful occupations, that the laborer may have his reward, and impress upon the hearts of people everywhere their dependence upon you, the only true God, and touch the hearts of people everywhere and move them to seek their salvation where alone it can be found. Send forth your gracious help to all countries, cities, and people on whom the hand of affliction and suffering rests, and overrule those who seek to hurt and harm us and even destroy us. Let not your anger come upon us as our sins have deserved, but pardon our iniquities and grant us our portion with your saints in glory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Frustrate and bring to naught all of the evil plotting and planning throughout the whole world, which is being done by many arrogant and ungodly evil people, including a multitude of many evil politicians and people in positions of power, and the evil people who are working dishonestly through the various agencies of the news media, all of whom are attempting to destroy our Christian faith and hope. If it is your good and gracious will, remove from office those who willfully, persistently, and stubbornly fail to fulfill their elected responsibilities. Strengthen our saving faith in Jesus, the only Savior for all sinners. Send us on our way rejoicing as your witnesses. Increase our joy of telling others about the one true God and about Jesus, whom our Heavenly Father sent as the only Savior for all people. Move us to search and study your holy word diligently and prayerfully, as it is recorded in the Bible, which is the only source for what is taught in the Christian church. Bless the work of all the faithful pastors and teachers of your holy word. Keep them faithful to the teaching of the truths which are revealed in both the law and the gospel. Moved by love for you and for the souls you have placed in their care, bring people to repentance and faith. Hear and answer our prayers according to your good and gracious will. We pray in our Savior's gracious name, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please join us each week online for a Christ-exalting worship service with scripture readings, prayers, a sermon, and the benediction. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Amen.